tuned to WMNF Tampa, Sunday Forum.
All right, all right, all right. This is the sound of the great, late great George Duke. And reach for it, baby, right here on the Sunday Forum. We're going to get on to our calls in just a few minutes. Let's listen to this little bit of this funk right here on the Sunday Forum. That's that real funk right there.
Yeah, that's that grown man music.
That's that grown man funk.
Yeah.
For all you folks that are watching us on Facebook, thank you for joining us here on Facebook on the Sunday Forum. Continue to watch us on Walter Elspeth the Second Facebook page and on the Sunday Forum Facebook page. Kids, keep on watching, baby. Here we go. Here on WMNF 88.5, Tampa, Sarasota, St. Pete. Hey, we got some phone calls going on right now. Let's get these phones. Let's keep that funk in the background there. Let's keep that going on, all right?
Yeah.
Our first call is from Levi from Polk Plantation. Levi, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show. All Levi. Right.
Who's that?
All right, brother, how you doing?
You got the funk rocking on me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I really wanted to put something in perspective to your audience, man. A few weeks ago, you had said that Haile Selassie, the Emperor of Ethiopia, had looked towards Hitler for assistance. Now, was that something that you had? Where did you get that information from?
There's a book called "At Last We Are Africans." If you look in that book, you will find what happened when they were in the early years when Italy was talking about invading. At that particular point, Italy had not made an alliance with the Nazis at that point. And that they were afraid, the Ethiopians were afraid of the invasion that they knew was coming from the Italians because they continued to threaten it. And the League of Nations was being formed as a result of some of these things that happened with Ethiopia.
The League of Nations had already formed in 1923. And the information might come from an interview the emperor had did in 1959 with a French publication, which asked him who provided the most assistance. His answer was Germany. And to put this into perspective, the year is 1935. Ethiopia is being invaded by the Romans. The Ethiopians are used
by the Italians? By the Italians?
Uh-huh. The Ethiopians are fighting with these archaic weapons. And the Italians are getting pushed back, so they begin to use the chemical mustard gas and spraying it. You know what that does? People, all kinds of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the emperor had appealed for assistance from the league, which was the whole design of the process to help for the smaller countries, you know, in this kind of situation.
Right.
And there was, you know, international law against this use of this chemical weapon. The league did not come to his aid. The emperor had requested, paid for a military equipment and weaponry that was being held up in Djibouti, the, you know, French Somaliland. So the emperor, you know, may be the best judge, you know, as to who provided the best assistance, but I think everything should be taken into context. You know, when the weaponry is being held up by the French, you know, and the British are not coming to the agreement of the League of Nations, you know, perhaps that was enough reason that Germany actually did provide enough assistance, although there was no specification about what that was. Now, this is not...
And they double-crossed them. They double-crossed them regardless.
Walter, let me just say, please. Mm. This is 3 years before any invasion of Germany on the Europeans. We know that the real beginning of World War II happened with the invasion of Ethiopia. But they won't write that into history.
No, they won't.
Once the British knew their land was being invaded in Africa, they needed the emperor to assist them to drive out these fascists, you know. And so 1935, 3 years before, you know, Czechoslovakia was invaded, 4 years, I think, 1939, you know, there was no Auschwitz. I don't think the world heard about this Holocaust thing until 20 years later, you know. And so these kinds of things, I think, are very important when you say that the Emperor Haile Selassie, I look towards Hitler for assistance, you know.
I think, and you're very right. You're very right. The context is very, very important. And I'm glad that you said that because that was the basis of what I was pointing out at that particular point. I think we got cut off due to something else. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but that was the basis of that was not really the basis of the discussion per se. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. There was, in fact, you know, they did get double-crossed by the Nazis, ultimately. And, of course, we all saw what happened as a result of that, is they ended up invading them. And, you know, and you're right. You're absolutely correct. I, you know, when it comes to context of the whole thing, you know, in fact, I do believe, in fact, that that invasion was the beginning of World War II.
Yeah, and it's also important to remember that during World Imperialist War Number Two,
yeah,
most of that action took place on Europe's colonies, and yeah, a lot absolutely. Of people in those colonies, people of color, perished.
Exactly. And you got to remember, Ethiopia was not an industrialized nation at that particular point. Italy was.
Right.
They were making weapons power. Left and right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Levi. We appreciate that, man. Hey, let's go on to our next call, Daryl. Daryl, what's happening?
Hey, Walter. How y'all doing?
All right. How you doing, brother?
All right. Happy Father's Day. I want to say happy Father's Day to my father, who's passed on, Benny. Also, my surrogate father, you probably could appreciate this. I don't know. Maybe you could... my football coach, Alfred Dixon.
Yeah.
I know your father definitely would know who this person is, and maybe you probably know. He was the brother of former Rattler football great Hewitt Dixon.
Yes.
Hewitt Dixon, yeah. Hey, got in some problems in school and home. You know, my mom didn't know. And next thing I know, I hear the voice of my mom, Daryl, Coach Dixon is out here to see you. Oh, a lot of us, we know that. Yeah, the football coach, you could be the, you know, the second father. Yeah, so, yeah, happy Father's Day. Made me to be the man, you know, that I am today. But I guess kind of going to your subject, what you're talking today, I wanted to throw this into this. Thank you, Miss Connie Burton. You are absolutely right. How many counties are there, Walter, in the state of Florida?
67.
Mobile. And how many black churches? We got churches in almost every county. You mean you can't take a day out of 5 days out of the week where you can talk about black history? We don't need to talk about them. But also, I disagree with Ms. Burton about this also, is that, look, Walter, Mabili, Ms. Mika, me, my family, we pay taxes in this state. We don't pay income tax, but we pay tax on everything else that goes to the education department of this state. And it, I think you pointed out that it's law that you must teach black history in this state. How are you going to tell us, Governor DeSantis, that you're not going to do that? Ain't that against the law? Isn't this like taxation without representation? How can you not do that? Oh, we want to celebrate Juneteenth. Get out of here. It's right. I hate to put this out. It's like they were working those people bad enough that you slaved for 2 years after, 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. Oh, now they're going to come and tell you that you were freed. You know, I know I sound like I'm all over the place, but I just had to say that, Walter. By the way, happy Father's Day. I'm going to get out the way so the other callers can come in. But think about that. We are paying taxes to a government that's telling us you can celebrate. They don't care. They don't really care about you going to the parks, eating your food, dancing, and you know, whatever like that. But when it comes to why was Juneteenth? No, we can't teach you about that.
No. And I think it's important to recognize also the fact that when you talk about critical race theory, that it's not just a matter of history. It's a matter of historiography.
Right.
Who writes it? It's also a matter of taking a deeper dive and looking at also what happens if. What happens if? Give me an example of what I mean. When the governor went to Jacksonville and had the discussion about his position on critical race theory being taught in the public school system, one of the things that they used, that they took a spin on, was a Philadelphia case study. It was a Philadelphia school where the children were characterized by the governor and by some other entity as celebrating black communism, right? So that's first thing. They're celebrating black communism by standing outside and doing a mock protest.
Uh-huh.
As a lesson, a mock protest for the release of Angela Davis.
A mock protest.
A mock protest.
But really, it's just add insult to injury.
Huh? Oh, man. Oh, man. So that was an example of one of. Now there are some other examples that were given, but also just keep in mind, I personally do not know the. I wasn't there, right? Just to be fair, I wasn't there. But I have my druthers about how it was presented, right? I have a real issue about how it was presented. Because you're gonna, if you're in the governor's shoes, what you're gonna do is present it in a way that works to your advantage.
Right. Get out your way, Walter.
It's all right, brother. It's all right. Thank you very much, Daryl. Yeah. So when you look at how it's presented, that is going, it's gonna be in the worst possible fashion, right? In order to get your point across, and so that you can win so that you'll prevail with regard to passing the policy or writing the policy. If you think that critical race theory, as I just described it, taking a deeper dive, scholarship, if you will, into not just black history, but other historic, other people's, other ethnic groups or racial groups' history, right? What are you looking at? What are we actually looking at? What we're looking at is what we will find is things like Tulsa. what we'll find is intricate details of what happened with Tulsa. For instance, when we think of critical race theory, think about the fact that what you pointed out, Mabili, which was how it was reported and what were the repercussions. One of the repercussions was they were unable to rebuild partly because of the insurance policies.
Mm-hmm.
The insurance policies were not able to be taken out. Why? Because it was considered to be a riot,
mm-hmm.
which means that there's fighting back and forth as opposed to a massacre, which is basically what it was, right? That's a whole other ballgame. So that means that, so why would you not want to look into that? Why would you? But as a better question is, why would you want to look into it if you're on DeSantis' side of the argument?
Yeah, because conservatives don't want to acknowledge this is a racist country.
Right.
This has racist. Everything that's happened in this country has been because of race.
Right.
Has been because they've needed to control black bodies is the reason why they organized the police forces. The need to repress black aspirations was the reason why they came up with the black codes. And these black codes are insinuated all throughout history and in present day law is why the police act the way they do today.
You know what? Here's another point. And we're going to go back to the calls. Another point. So the overseer, right, the officer, KRS-One, right? KRS-One's, right? Yeah. as a hip-hop head, you know, if you've ever listened to KRS-One, you talk about his, you listen to what he says.
The overseer.
About the overseer officer. Believe it or not, a lot of people went to actually study that more because of what KRS-One was saying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that aside, again, another reason why critical race theory is important because you're forced to look at the culture, the hip hop, which is a culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now let's take another dive. Let's go a little deeper. So we take the concept of the police officer, right, who is evolved into the copper, you know, the overseer is evolved into the copper is evolved into the police officer, mm-hmm. the cop, as mm-hmm. we call him, right? Mm-hmm. So you know when we look at. Look at where this comes from, why it is what it is, and the impacts that it has had. You cannot ignore the fact that here we are in a situation where we have an agency, right, that's sworn to protect and serve, right?
Ideally,
but inside of that same agency, nothing has changed for over 100 years.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? 165 years, about thereabouts. Right. So here you go. You're looking at an agency that nothing has changed in terms of the mentality of some, not all, but right. some of those officers and the policy of the entire organization, the entire agency, the entire institution of law enforcement. The concept stinks. Mm-hmm. And for them not to know, either not know that, to ignore it, and to think, thirdly, most importantly, that the CRB has no place in our community, in our society, is wrong. And it is not just an oversight. I think it is a type of chosen blindness.
You mean the Citizen Review Board?
Yes, the Citizen Review Board.
Mm-hmm.
It is and I said I was going to touch on it, and that's the reason why I'm touching on it, is because there is a connection. There's an intersection right. there. You cannot look at critical race theory and not consider that possibility or the fact that is what it is.
And look and watch this, because the issues here, it is Father's Day, and fathers are supposed to be the providers, but we have an issue of child poverty, and we have hunger. We have, in this rich country, we have and in this state, we have a sales tax, as we just alluded to, and yet that's unfair. The rich gets to pay the same amount for goods that I do and I'm not nearly as well off as they are, that, mm-hmm. you know, a sales tax in Florida has always been regressive and unfair, absolutely. As far as I'm concerned. And then they got nerve to tell me that they're not going to teach truth to my children or to my nieces and nephews in this state and in other conservative states who refuse to acknowledge, you know, these issues of whether there are fuel deserts and whether there's child poverty. These are issues we're going to be dealing with this summer, because now the powers that be, because of the pandemic, has to deal with it. If we said we were going to wipe out child poverty and we were going to get rid of and eradicate food deserts, and there are conservatives who are just calling that big government and they're not interested.
And we're not taking the deal. Again, I go back to the point, they're not taking the deeper dive.
Right.
They're not refuse. Taking a deeper dive. Refuse to
ignorance
take,
is bliss.
continue to refuse to take the deeper dive. Continue to refuse to, and I'm not going to sit around and say, you know, I'm going to beg you for liberation. I'm not begging you for liberation. I'm not going to beg you for liberation. Right? You know, as far as I'm concerned, I am free. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. We're free people.
We're free people. And I don't need to beg you for that. Right, we can grow our own food, right? We can,
we can make it.
Yeah, we can police ourselves. We can govern ourselves. We're not the difference between human beings and animals of the animal kingdom is our ability to think beyond the way that lawlessness of that animal kingdom, that our mind, right?
That's supposed to be what distinguishes us, right?
That's what distinguishes us, right? I mean,
it looks like you got these lines lit up, and I don't remember hearing the phone number recently.
Oh, man, no, I'm telling you, man, they're there. So we're gonna go to the line in just a minute. So I'm going to go ahead and hit this sky. I think that's appropriate.
Call us.
Here on WMNF, they caught us off guard. 813-531-1845, right here on WMNF 88.5, Tampa, Sarasota, St. Pete. This is the Sunday Forum. We're going to listen to this, the sound of Sky and Call Me. Get ready to wake up early in the morning on Sunday morning and listen to us live on Sunday from 8 to 10. We got our 2 hours back, folks.
Yes, we did.
We got our 2 hours back.
And so we got to be joined by members of Urban
Gang. That's right. On the 4th Estate. Yes, sir. They're going to be doing the research. Yeah. We're going to reach out to the community even more than what we used to do in the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? Before COVID hit.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we were doing it up. Thank you. Shout out to Kaya Wright.
Yes.
Shout out to our sister Kaya Wright. Thank you so much, Kaya, for helping us to move to the next level, for taking over when you did. I appreciate it, sister, because, hey, listen.
And there's some old faces, other old faces I want to see. Laurie Gardy, we need you back, bro.
Yeah, brother. Hey, he's doing well out there in Orlando.
Yeah,
he's got his own shows and everything in Haitian, for the Haitian community, and it's in Creole. He's doing his cooking shows.
All the more reason why we need you to stop by here.
Stop on by. Fourth Estate members are growing, doing their thing. Yes, yes, yes. All right, so let's go on to the phone lines right here. All right. Let's go to our phone lines. The first call is Billy. Billy, what's happening? Welcome to the Sunday Forum.
Hey, welcome. How you doing?
All right.
You were talking about World War II, Haile Selassie and the Germans.
Oh yeah, that was just that. To understand what the context was, we're looking at the fact that the critical race theory and the need for us to take the deeper dive with regard to history and historiography.
Yeah, well, here's the thing that I think a lot of people, I hope you can hear me with all this wind going here, is that you know, you bring out a very interesting part about critical race. That when you look at it in war, for example, World War One, you know, World War One was all about Africa. And what people, a lot of people don't understand is that more people died in Africa, black people died in Africa than they did in Europe in World War One. And the war was fought not only on, we always hear about it being fought on the European theater, mm-hmm. it actually was fought in the African theater.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Germans, out of Wathop, I think this guy's name, had an army of black soldiers, okay, in the South Africa and the Namibia area, and they beat everybody. Hmm. And Lothropen, I think his name was. Anyway, so, and in fact, they were so victorious. You see, the German army lost in Europe, but they won in Africa. And they, it took them 2 years after the signing of the Armistice Treaty before they realized that the war was over. People don't talk about that.
But they were still knocking off lives in Nigeria. They were using Nigerian soldiers, people in the... It was devastating. Yeah. Absolutely devastating, right. What's happening.
And then also, what also happened was this, when we talk about, we talk about critical race and Holocaust theory, the Germans in Namibia, and in Namibia did the what we call the same sort of, because the Harar and the Nam people were resisted them, and they pretty good. So when they gave up, they then assigned them to concentration camps at Von Weckel. Read about the Nam and the Harar. And this is actually, there's a documentary on YouTube about this. Okay. And they use these as the first concentration extermination camps. And this was done, and they would cut off their heads. Again, I tell people, that's why your Gray's Anatomy books are so good, because they used to take these bodies, cut these people's heads off, and dissect them up in the University of Berlin and stuff. And these were from the dissections that were done in... On black folk and stuff. And in 2015, the Harar and the Nam people filed in federal court, United States federal court in New York, and there's a reason for this, for reparations from Germany, okay? And the United States federal court refused to hear that case. And the reason they filed it in New York is because it was the same court that the Jewish folks in Germany, who were persecuted in Germany, filed the same court and got reparations from Germany in the U.S. court. So the Nam and Harabi, and when I went to South Africa, I ran into some folks who from Namibia, and they talked about this. And this is freely talked about. I mean, it's not like here
absolutely
you don't understand that we're critical race. And the other thing that's disturbing, that, you know, when people say that the if you're going to not talk about critical race. In fact, critical race, again, is a law theory. It's like somebody talking about putting pharmacology into elementary school. But the other thing, too, if you want to go that route, then how then do you talk about the Civil War? You know, you're going to tell me about Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee, who were traitors, who betrayed this country, who wore arms against this country, who graduated from the United States Military Academies, okay? And Jeb Stuart and all these other cats.
Right.
And yet they bore arms against this country. And then you're going to tell me if that one, and then that was about, and the South was a lot bigger than what we think it was. You know, the South originally wanted to extend itself to Guatemala, to Cuba, to Nicaragua, and those places. They called it the Greater South.
Right. So you have more plantation. Plantation states, if you will, in Cuba and so forth. They had deals with these people. But, hey, listen, Billy, thank you so much, man. We got to go because we got these other folks on waiting on the lines. But, man, thank you very much for the perspective and those points. Again, the reason why we have to take that deeper dive historically. I mean, you go to Netflix, there is a documentary that's a very good documentary about Nigeria. And in that, as you look at the, as you start coming more towards the 20th century in Nigeria, obviously, they look at World War One and look at how African soldiers were used primarily in these wars on the front lines, and they fought, and millions upon millions died. Millions of African soldiers died. Hmm. And, you know, it, and I had, it, again, when you read the history in a regular history book, you don't even, there's no discussion about this in high school. There's no discussion about this anywhere from middle school to high school, not even at the university level, unless it is probably the HBCU. But unless it, there is that, again, that deeper dive in Africana studies. In Africana studies, we knew it. We learned it.
Right. And we also have to, the struggle continues in terms of desegregating the schools because they are integrated, but there's a segregation that is tacit that has been going on for a few decades where there are kids walking around the school, they're being considered gifted while the rest of us are being locked out of the same education. These kids are walking around the same school with different books. Right. They're getting more information because they're preparing those kids to be leaders while they're preparing the rest of us to be their workers.
My mother used to always tell me, prepare yourself by reading so that you can have those discussions that are outside of the realm of the norm.
Right.
Got to be able to have
a lot of good information is hidden in plain sight.
I'm telling you, man.
But you're not reading those books.
I'm telling you, man. Hey, listen, everybody call in 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663 right here on WMNF 88.5 Tampa, Sarasota, St. Pete. The Sunday Forum is on, folks, from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., every Sunday, beginning next Sunday. Mm-hmm. Next Sunday, we are on from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Join us. We are the morning show.
Yep.
We're the Sunday morning show, if you
That's
will,
right.
right? Hey, come on in. Join us. Drive on as you go to church, yeah. Go into Sunday school, go into synagogue or wherever it is. Hey, give us a call. Well, that wouldn't be synagogue on a Sunday, that wouldn't. I'm sorry, folks, in the synagogue. But hey, listen, wherever you're going, the bottom line is, tune in. Listen to the Sunday Forum. Hey, listen, we got some more calls. Let's see. We got Life Malcolm. What's happening, brother? How you doing, Brother African?
I'm in the game, Brother African. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I think that's our thing, Brother African. We're the only ones that call each other there, right?
Well, I don't know about that. I will say that I got that from Mukasa Dada, who is known most around the world for coining and popularizing the term and the demand for black power. So I can't take credit for that. I just know everywhere Mukasa goes, and he sees an African. He says, what's going on, Sister African, Brother African? And so, yeah. So, I mean, we might be the only ones who say it now. I don't know if Mukasa Dada still says it. It's been quite some time since we've spoken. That's unfortunate. But
right.
I'm glad that we're keeping that legacy alive. I want to say that I appreciate this program so much, and I'm glad to hear that you have 2 hours again because the reality is, African people, certainly the Sunday Forum, does not have enough time to allow us to have the kinds of discussions this show presents the opportunity for us to raise. And so I'm glad to hear that. That's such good news.
Thank you, brother.
This guy who just got off the air, I think, Billy, said something like the first imperialist war to redivide the world was about Africa, and of course that's fallacy. If it was about Africa, Africans would have been involved. It was about destroying Africa. You know what I mean? So we got to be careful and meticulous and clear about the things that we say, and that's not just playing semantics and splitting hairs. It was not about Africa. It was about white people's ability to do what they wanted to do with Africa and them fighting amongst themselves to divide Africa for white people's purposes. In this idea of critical race theory, this whole idea of race, it, you know, again, it's some. I don't know what the struggle is, brother, and I call you brother. And I'm a Billy too. I hear you on the air, And we have had a relationship of sorts, for almost two decades. And I don't know, brothers, this is no heavy criticism, but it is something that I want to discuss. I want to hear from you. I don't know why it is we still want to latch on to this idea of race, which suggests to us that somehow we need to deal with the oppression we experience, African people in this country experience, on terms white people said. The reality is we are colonized people. It ain't no race thing. It ain't no white supremacy thing. We talk around the issue all the time. Some of us do all the time. And I'm not sure why that is. And the reason why I'm calling you guys out in this way, to use that term, is because I know that y'all done heard me say it before. Maybe other people who listen have not heard me raise the struggle that our fight is against colonial domination. There's no way to measure. I mean, look, man, people say all the time that they fight against racism all kinds of different ways. They fight against it on their job, by putting an Afro pick in their white dreadlocks. They fight against racism, by the police. The police! Who lead colonial domination in most African communities, if not all. They claim to fight against racism, too. But none of them claim to fight against colonialism. None of them say that they have to get the hell out of African people's lives and communities and allow us to run. Get out of our way of running our own affairs. I'm saying racism, anybody can fight against that. However they want to fight against that, and people do. You have Al Sharpton and others, who claim to be FBI agents. Joe Robinson, who claim to be FBI agents, and then turn around and say they fight against racism, too. But the reality is we are faced with colonial domination, and we have to overturn colonial domination, which means that we have to wrest, W-R-E-S-T, wrest power for our own open control over our own lives away from these white people who right now control every facet of our lives. And I just want to say, this is such an important program, and so many people listen, and so many people not just listen, but latch on to the things that you all say. I'm hoping that you recognize how important that responsibility is and begin to help Africans see that this idea of fighting against some idea like this notion of fighting against some idea like racism is an unwinnable battle. You can't change. You don't even know how the measurement of when you change somebody's mind, because they'll change it right back. I think the Juneteenth flag they just raised is red, white, and blue, I'm told. But what we can do is measure whether we have power and control over our own lives, and whether the colonial state gets to say what our future looks like, which they have something to say about it, there's no future at all, or whether it is we have the power to say what it is our future looks like. And yeah, so I just really want to appreciate the significance of this program and call on you, brother Walter and Mabili. Even if y'all don't agree, at least let's have the struggle about whether we should whether this conversation is about colonialism or some like race, race theory, or whatever.
Critical race theory, yeah.
It obfuscates the fact that white people control our lives, and we got to fight like hell to get control back.
Let me point something out to you. What you said is not wrong. But what you said is absolutely not wrong, and I don't think we disagree on that point with regard to fighting colonialism. I think it's a matter of perspective and understanding that perspective. For instance, when we look at the issue of critical race theory as a class, right? One of the things that's unavoidable in that discussion of that curriculum is a discussion of colonialism. We cannot, if colonialism is not in that discussion, then that's not a real critical race theory class. The real critical race theory class has got to look at the issue of colonialism because one of the things it addresses is the communities in which there has been oppression, right? The communities in which the white racists have gone out there and wrested, as you say, W-R-E-S-T, gone out there and taken control of communities in ways that are violent, in very violent ways, clearly. And it's not just something that happened here in the United States, something that just happened abroad on the continent of Africa, but things that happen every day right here in the United States in all of our communities. But we just don't recognize it as colonialism. But we need to recognize it as colonialism. But the only way that we can really do that is by having courses like this. If we'd be honest about it, right? If you have courses like this and you're able to teach that concept to these children, there are different ways that it's taught, right? You could teach it in that same way, in the way that you're talking about. You get my point? And so I think that's critical to having a real discussion, having that deeper dive to really understand and make sure that we are all on the same page regarding this thing. I don't think we disagree on that at all.
Yeah, no, brother, we have serious unity there. I just want to be sure that this program, again, because I recognize the significance of this program, brother. Listen, I'm busy, believe it or not, on the ground doing work, you know, but this program is so important that I take time out to make this a part of my day because I recognize this program's significance in our community and its ability to instruct African people right now, especially African working class masses, the toiling masses who need clarity now more than ever, and who not mm-hmm. needs it, but the class right now is demanding clarity. You understand, brother? The struggles that are taking place on the ground, these rebellions, you know, that look like what happened 100 years ago in Tulsa, but in a more broadcast way, where mm-hmm. Africans are saying the hell with what the police say, you know, F the police. They ain't just saying it in a rap song. They're saying it on the ground in demonstrations and burning down buildings. They're saying the ballot, the bullet, the burning building, one way or the other, we will be free, and they're demanding that programs such as this make the question clear. And I'm saying that because you have such an incredible responsibility, mm-hmm. no matter what they do in these classrooms and the deeper dives and what have you, it shouldn't be a week that this program goes by, in my view, comrade, that it does not say the fight is against colonialism. So it can help these people who are doing their deeper dive in their classrooms put that on their damn agenda.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying you have a tremendous program, a tremendous responsibility, and an audience of African toiling masses calling on you for clarity, you know, clamoring for it. And I'm saying that we have to make it clear to these Africans that, and to the white people who are listening, because white people can abandon the nasty, oppressive system that allows them the kind of privilege that some people characterize as white supremacy and characterize as white arrogance. It ain't nothing but the benefits of colonialism, and white people can abandon that stuff, jump on the right side of history, and do work to bring about freedom and liberation for all people for real. And so, yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, man. Thank you, brother. Thank you. All right, brother. Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, man. Hey, Brother Life Malcolm. That's a good point. But, of course, we have that discussion, don't we?
Yeah.
We have to... I know that I personally and you have many times we consistently used the terminology colonialism, defined it, and shared it with the community to make people understand the conditions that we are living in are no different from what we're seeing on a global scale.
Yeah, and that's the point. That's a good point you just made, because colonies were basically defined as indirect rule. That means somebody far away is going to rule you mm-hmm. at home. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I remember when I was coming out of college, a book that I read was by Ali Mazrui, Professor Ali Mazrui, and it was called The Africans, A Triple Heritage. And this was part of the point of his book, was to talk about how, you know, these colonies were all awesomely important to the maintaining of white supremacy on a global scale. And inside the United States, a lot of the cities were being run in a lot of ways, like the colonies were being run, especially in the South, in Southern states, you know, states told cities what they can and cannot do, still do it today. So we might see colonial type behavior happening from the state level down to the city. We saw it during the pandemic where certain governors told progressive cities, you can't go too far. You can't tell people what they can and cannot do in a public health crisis. So that's a form of colonialism when you're telling somebody from a distance what they can and cannot do at home. And it happens inside the United States just as it did historically on a global scale.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it. Let's go to, we got Rick. Rick on the Sunday Forum. Welcome to the Sunday Forum, Rick.
Happy Father's Day, and yes, this is Rick.
All right.
Hey, happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you, brother.
Always great discussion on your show. I wanted to get your insight on a problem I see, and I'll lay it out for you. We were just in a book reading group for the book on Juneteenth by Annette Gordon Reed. It's a new book on Juneteenth. Fascinating book. And in book discussion, we were about 20 people involved with it. It was one black man in our whole group of 20 people. And it's a fascinating book showing how we are all really victimized by a system of oppression. We're all victimized by a system that stereotypes people. Some great examples from the book were we're in our movies that we all get to see and we all get to share. In our movies, people who are, black people are characterized a certain way. White people are stereotyped a certain way. And it leads us into all sorts of false impressions about what American history really is. I expect the government to probably give our children a bit more propaganda than true history. And so I don't really trust the educational system to come through for our kids in terms of giving them the truth. Critical race theory is phenomenal. I don't expect them to be strong on it because governments often are weak in terms of having to face reality. But what can our communities do? When I say our communities, it's evolving into more of a money status issue in America rather than the simple color line, because our color lines are blending over time, and unfortunately, the economics is not. It seems to be going the opposite direction in America. But this thought of what I saw in the book club in St. Petersburg was kind of reminiscent of a story I had from almost 45 years ago. A friend of mine who was black Haitian, and his family had to leave Haiti because of political turmoil and the fact that his father was targeted by Papa Duvalier, mm-hmm. came to America, and he said he would go to the movie theaters. He would go to the Thalia Theater in 96th Street Theater in New York to see good movies of third world issues and educate himself. And he always told me how sad he was that 90% of the population in these movie theaters were white yuppies from Manhattan, and very few of the people he wanted to know the story were with him. And I don't know, my thought is, how about the churches? Can the churches create teaching clubs, book clubs, so that our young people and our members of the churches can really learn the history beyond what they're going to get in school and beyond what they're going to get from stupid Hollywood shows that portrays us all as simple.
You mean like the freedom schools of the 1960s?
Yeah.
Exactly. I know the black church is a strong center of education, of an alternative education. And I think many times white churches are too, although I don't have as much experience with them in terms of studying the white church, because it's just, I don't know.
Well, let me. That's a very good question and a very good point that you brought up. I think that one of the things I know for a fact that one of the things we have to consider when we look at the issue of the churches having these classes that you're referring to, for instance, as a type of intercession in this whole thing, is to look at the fact that not all churches and not all church leaders think the same way. Right. That's number one.
Gotcha.
Their concept of history can be revisionist, number one. What they will allow to be taught from the, you know, in their church walls or under their tutelage would be you know, because they watch it. They watch very carefully as to what is taught. So the church, even amongst black churches, you have those who are king followers, if you will, and those who are not king followers. Those, in other words, mm-hmm. those who are peaceful, quote unquote, and those who are not so peaceful. Those who are Hermann McNeil Turner types in amongst the AME church. There are a whole myriad gotcha. of different ways that these things can be taught. But the one thing, not to take another step, and again, this is another reason why critical race theory is so important. If I say this also to Brother Life, because both of us, I have my master's degree in Africana Studies. I think Life has a master's degree or an undergrad degree in the same field. But one of the things that is very clear is that there was an effort and has been and still is an effort to undermine the need for Africana studies or cultural studies with regard to other ethnic groups and racial groups. The history and what was done, there are some differences based off of geography, based off of culture, based off of the culture of the oppressor or the colonizer. These are things that have to be considered. And also based off the resources that the colonizer is targeting. So there are a series of things that have to be considered when looking at this whole thing. And again, the need for the deeper dive is there. The need for the critical race theory.
WMNF Tampa.
Wow, not sure what that was, but all right.
Somebody didn't like what you were saying.
Yeah, I'm trying, boy. I tell you, they try anything to stop me from spitting this knowledge, right? No, but listen, man. You know, these are things that you have to be that you have to be cognizant of when you look at any cultural. What is that?
I don't know.
Wow. Okay. When you look at this whole thing of the critical race theory. So Rick, you know, those are very good questions, and the concern is certainly there.
Yeah, the church might raise a whole different level of concern in terms of what gets taught. And
oh, wow. 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 Because I'm going to tell you, they in many instances, you look at churches and boy, they were right smack dab in the middle of some real major problems that they don't want to reveal.
Gotcha.
You know, so, but you know, hey, listen, it does not mean that it can't be done. It does not mean that it can't be challenged if need be in order to release these institutions of their fascism, their own style of fascism, if you will,
right.
When it comes down to that type of thing. So, hey, Rick, thank you very much. We appreciate your call, man.
But, Walter, how about just get one basic thing that we could start doing is just, for instance, the Black Panthers Child Breakfast Program, because if you get kids fed, then they're ready to receive knowledge and can retain it and apply it. So it starts with the nutrition.
You know how many people don't even know that was the case?
Yeah.
They're so ready to dismiss. People are so afraid of communism. communism. Like, listen, man, I'm not. That's
Until
not my
capitalism's
concern.
Capitalism's in trouble. Yeah.
The concern is the policy of the children. That the policy of making sure that our children are healthy.
Right.
A policy. Make it a damn policy. That your child will be healthy, man.
Seems
that's
easy.
What I mean. Worry about some, and then you'll call them communists. Are you serious right now? That's what you took from that?
Right.
Your child is starving. There are children that are starving right here. And there are institutions that are sending bad milk to the black kids.
Right.
Either right. Or the poor side of town, and everybody else on the other side get the good stuff.
Right.
Come
colonialism.
On, come on, man. This is sick. That's sick. Listen, we have, oh, wow. We're right at it. Hey, listen.
Yes. We're almost out of there.
Oh, man, listen. We are so glad you joined us here this Father's Day on the Sunday Forum. And we ask that you continue to join us here on the new Sunday Forum. We got our 2 hours back.
Yep.
8 a.m. to 10 a.m. The new Sunday Forum on WMNF 88.5 Tampa, Sarasota, St. Pete. And we're going to leave you today with Everybody Loves the Sun.